Well, thanks, Ian. Ian's been a regular on our Bible reading roster over the years as well. And when we realised it was just random that he was on this morning, but he said, no, I'd love to read, even though, of course, he's been active in the service in other ways as well. What a morning it's already been. And I have no doubt that God has spoken to us in a number of ways already, through Alan's words, through the testimonies of Ian and of Hannah, as well as I'm sure in other ways. And I'm not going to take us in a totally different direction to what we've already seen and heard. I'm simply going to draw together from God's word over the next few moments with three questions that arise out of this first chapter of Jonah. And the story of Jonah is a remarkable story, really. It's probably a very familiar story to you, but it's a very challenging story when you look at it a little bit closer. And why is that? It's because really we are all Jonahs. We easily find ourselves in one way or another, at one time or another, at a place in our life that is not the place that God has for us to be at. And I'm not speaking physically necessarily, I'm speaking in terms of our Christian life and witness and any aspect of our lives. If that was the case for Jonah, it can certainly be the case for you and I, because Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was someone who had been very much a part of God's work, as we read in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, where Jonah is described like this. It says, 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, that Jonah was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. But even Jonah, who was a prophet and spoke the voice of the Lord in various ways in different places, even Jonah found himself now running from what God was calling him to do. And that can be true for you and I in our lives as well. Let's get a greater sense of that as we just reflect on these three questions. Question number one this morning is very simply, what is God speaking to you about? Not what is God speaking to your wife about, but what is God speaking to your life about? Not what is God speaking to the person next to you or in front of you about, but what is God speaking to you about? Because in Jonah, as Ian just read to us, in Jonah chapter 1, the first couple of verses describe to us that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And the word of the Lord comes to you and I too, as God prompts us, as God points out things to us, as God personally nudges us about something that's a part of his plan for our lives. And for Jonah, God was speaking to him about going to Nineveh and being a voice for God there. The very simple question for you and I today is, what is God speaking to you about? What's your Nineveh? What's the place you'd prefer not to go? The step you'd naturally rather avoid? Nineveh is whatever takes you out of your comfort zone. Nineveh is the thing that God speaks to you about that you'd much rather brush off or shut off or run a mile from. It might be baptism. Baptism is something that God calls us all to as his followers, as an act of obedience to Jesus' command and commission that's found there right at the end of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, when he says, all authority has been given to me in all heaven and earth, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And how is the demonstration? That baptizing them, as you've seen this morning, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Is that what God is speaking to you about? That you say, I'd rather not go there. Is it flying the flag of being a follower of Jesus amongst others, among you in your workplace, in your street, in your sporting club, in other areas of life? Is it taking a step to invite someone you know to the upcoming LifeWorks course, which here at the church, which is specifically designed to move people closer towards Jesus? Is it another area of your life, a conversation that you might need to have with someone that you've been avoiding, a wound you need to deal with, that you've just been trying to cover over, a growth area in character that you need to be attentive to, a step to move beyond where you're at in God's purposes for you in serving him, or one of many other areas? God speaks to us all, no matter who we are, no matter where we're at. But the second question is just as important. What's your response when God speaks to you? Jonah's response was to run from God, to go in the opposite direction. And we read in Jonah chapter 1 that Jonah, instead of going to Nineveh, he caught a ship to a totally different place, a place called Tarshish. Now, where was Tarshish? Little geography lesson for you for a moment. Tarshish was in the total opposite direction to Nineveh. Nineveh was due east from where Jonah was. And Tarshish was a long way west. Tarshish was down around Spain. It was about 4,000 kilometres from the place that God spoke to Jonah about going to, actually. I've never been on a cruise. Many of you, I know, have. More and more people seem to be going on cruises these days. But here it was like Jonah chose to go on a Mediterranean cruise instead of going where God spoke to him about going. Why did he make that choice? Didn't turn out to be a Mediterranean cruise. But why did he make that choice in the first place? Because he knew going to Nineveh would be more challenging, and he knew that that would take him out of his comfort zone. All too often, we too can be like Jonah. Instead of responding to what God speaks to us about in trust and obedience, we run a mile, or we run a couple of thousand miles from it, as Jonah did. I couldn't do that, we say, as fear or pride or our own sense of comfort overrides all that God has for us. We would much rather default to a place of comfort and to a place that feels within our comfort zone than a place that involves stepping out beyond our comfort zone. But the heart of the issue is this, whether it was for Jonah or whether it's for you or me, the heart of the issue is a trust and obedience issue. Can I trust God enough to know that God knows best and that God has plans and purposes that extend way beyond what I can see and that God can be trusted? If he speaks to me about something, if he prompts me about something, I can trust that he knows best. And he's going to watch over me. And he's going to be with me. And he's going to give me courage. Can I trust him enough to obey him, even when it isn't easy, instead of running in the other direction, as Jonah did? There's a beautiful psalm, Psalm 139, that again would be well known to many of you. But I'm just going to read some verses from that psalm, verses 7 to 12, and then I'm going to read a few of the extra verses. Tells us, a few verses on from that, tells us, reading from verse 7, that we can't flee from God's presence. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee or run from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Reminds us that we can't run from God. But then, the next few verses remind us why we don't need to run from God. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Those verses that follow remind us that God knows what he's doing. And all that's before us in our lives is in his hands. Can you and will you trust him? Can you and will you respond by stepping out in faith and obedience when God speaks to you instead of running in the other direction? One final question that arises out of these early verses in Jonah. What wake-up call are you getting? I'm generally a pretty sound sleeper, so much so that Michelle says a brass band could be playing and I wouldn't stir. But even I don't think I could sleep like Jonah did in the midst of the storm. Here's a storm raging around him and there's absolute chaos and havoc. And what does he do? He goes down below deck for a sleep. Jonah needed a wake-up call, and he got it as the captain of the ship came to him in verse 6 and said, Jonah, wake up, wake up. And very interestingly, what does he say to him? Turn to your God. Turn to your God and pray to him. Jonah had lost sight of God's perspective. And Jonah instead was responding out of his own perspective. And we too can easily do that like Jonah. In the midst of the storm, Jonah got a wake-up call to turn to God in prayer, to take his personal fears and challenges to God and tell him all about them, as Pastor Alan reminded us earlier. Life's wake-up calls often come in the midst of storms. They often come when things are out of our control, whether it's the storm of pain or the storm of disappointment, the storm of uncertainty or the storm even of rebellion against God and his best for us. God is able to work in the midst of the storm, drawing us back in his grace and his mercy so that we call on him in prayer and as he provides a way forward. Every day, all of us take steps in our lives. Some of us even count the number of steps that we take. Fitbits and other things that count the number of steps per day you take. But as we close this morning, more important than counting the steps that you take is taking the steps that count. Steps that follow in Jesus' steps instead of going the other direction or staying put. Steps of faith and obedience instead of steps of fear and disobedience. Every day, all of us will take steps that are either closer towards God and God's purposes for us or further away from them. What step that counts do you need to commit to? Maybe it's to be baptized. Maybe it's to make time each day again in your life or for the first time for prayer spent with God, as Pastor Alan described it, a quiet time, the importance of that. Maybe it's to be an encourager of others. Maybe it's to keep pressing on through the storms and challenges that you're facing to finish the race that God has marked out for you. Whatever it is, will you commit to saying yes to whatever God is speaking to you about? Let's pray.